it's good to be with you once again as we come together this evening to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'd ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Once you're there, before I read that passage, we're all familiar with running. Now, as you can see by my size, that's never been one of my favorite sports. When I was in Lake City and a few other places, I decided to try running, and I ran a 10K. I wasn't paying attention to that. I thought, oh, that's 3 or 4 miles. Well, it's 6.2 miles. And I did finish the 3 times I ran. The first time I finished, second to last. The lady in front of me was close to 100 years old, but that's all right. I finished the race. The other 2 times, I was also towards the bottom of the pack. And so that was a small race. Now, we had a sister in Christ in Illinois who would run marathons. Now, that's 26.2 miles. And then we have my son. That wasn't enough for him. A number of years, he would run a race called the Frozen Otter. The Frozen Otter was in Wisconsin. It was in the middle of winter. And it was a 64-mile race that you got to do within 24 hours. And he would have those who would be with him, some friends of his, and they would give us updates at 10 at night, 2 in the morning, 4 o'clock, and they would tell us the temperature. Now, I said all that to the races. If you've ever done any lengthy running, I can't speak from experience because I didn't do any lengthy running, but those who do lengthy running talk about hitting the wall. Now, this idea of hitting the wall, Jake gave me a very technical answer to that, and I should have him come up and do that, but if he gets up, he might start preaching, so he's staying there. But as I understand it, that your body becomes fatigued, you're just losing your energy because you have been doing it so long, that he said your mind is really the difficulty. Your mind is telling you to quit at one point in time, but you push through it. You push through it, and you finish the race. So we're going to talk about hitting the wall as a Christian. And be careful about that. Because as a Christian, we run a race. And it's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And we don't want to give up. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, very familiar passage, I use it numerous times, Paul states this, Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I'm going to talk about running the race as a child of God, that we keep on running. So when we look at 1 Corinthians 9, keep running. I think I remind myself of this because I think as we get older in years, we're definitely going to slow down physically wise. But we have to keep on running spiritually wise. We don't retire from the Lord when we get to a certain age. We've got to keep on running. And I talk about hitting the wall. We might hit the wall due to a number of circumstances. We might hit the wall that we don't want to keep on running spiritually because of sickness. As we get older, sicknesses will affect some of us. You got to keep running. We might hit the wall because of stress. You know, I used to think as you get older, you simply got calmer. That is not necessarily true. So we have to keep on running when stress comes our way. We have to keep on running in our daily battles against sin. But you got to keep on running. We got to run that spiritual race till the end. As one person said, and I keep this as my motto, finish strong. Finish strong. Because sometimes it's so easy to say, I'm tired. I'm done. Let God do what he has to do. No, you don't want to do that. What happens, you're giving the yellow flag, the white flag to Satan, saying, use me how you want me. It's very important, whether you're young or old, understanding that Christianity is a marathon. And we've got to run that race. Let's look at running that race this evening. First of all, if we look back to verse 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, it tells us there, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain it, or you may obtain it. Now, the idea here is it's a personal thing. I can't have somebody run this race as a Christian by proxy. I can't have somebody else do it for me. I've got to run the race, and I've got to run in such a way that I might obtain that prize. You see, you look at this illustration, everybody can get the prize, but you got to run the race. We can't sit there thinking about running the race. We can't dawdle about running the race. We've got to run that race. So when we talk about running that race, the personal action, let me just suggest a few passages along those lines. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 27, we have recorded for us there, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Notice, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. There's no mulligans when you get old. You still have to let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Again, some of the most impatient people are older people. As a Christian, we have to watch out for that. The society does not owe us anything. I've got to run that race at 69 just as I did at 39. And if God gives me 15 more years, then he's punished me because I want to go on before that. But nevertheless, I've got to run that race. Now, it might be different 10 years from now. There might be things I might not be able to do, but I've got to have a conduct that is becoming of Jesus Christ. So when we get older, we have to be aware. And this is for all ages, but when we get older, we have to be aware. Our conduct cannot lessen the older we get. We've got to still do those things. We've got to strive for the gospel. We've got to live in such a way to glorify God. Keep running. If you've entered the race, don't give up. If you entered the race and you have hardships, do the best you can with them, but keep running. Don't give up. You know, when I think of people as they get older and sicknesses, there's a lot of people, including some here, who have sicknesses, and you're here. You have sicknesses, and you could have chosen to not be here. Another congregation I've known of people who've had sicknesses, but they keep on. Now, they can't do to the extent they did earlier, but they keep on running. We have to run that race. Let's look to another passage. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, listen, and increasing in the knowledge of God until you get 55. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say until you get 55. How often should we be trying to increase in the knowledge of God? till the day you die. Keep running. Increase in the knowledge of God till the day you die. Again, as I prepare for sermons, as I prepare for classes, someone says, well, yeah, Chuck's preached for 40 years. All he has to do is wing it. No, because I couldn't stand accountable to God if I did that. I've got to keep running. I go back and study those passages. I go back and study those classes. If I taught that class before, I restudy it, how to do it better. I've taught Philippians a number of times before. I'm making a brand new workbook. I'm not asking for you to put me on a pedestal, but I'm just trying to say I keep on doing that. I don't rest on what was accomplished in the past, and neither should you. We need to keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of God, whether it be like a lesson we studied this morning on authority, whether it be some of the material that Larry has written concerning that topic. We have to keep on running, keep on growing, keep on knowing. And here's the scary thing for those of us who get older. It's easy to forget. The hardest thing is things I knew so clearly, I'm having a hard time to bring that passage back to my recollection quickly as I had in times before. That's why I have notes with me tonight, so that I stay focused on this race, keep on growing in the knowledge. You'll never lose if you take time to study. So again, if you're not studying God's Word daily, you're not doing a good job in running the race, because you need to keep on growing if you're going to do that. One more point on that, and then we'll move on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have recorded for us in this chapter and verse, and it's a beautiful chapter because it's known as the resurrection chapter. Now in 55, he talks about death. And then 56, the sting of death. And 57, the victory over death. And then he sums it all up by stating, therefore. The therefore goes back to the preceding verses, does it not? The preceding verses said, okay, you had death, you get victory over death through Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, listen, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Remember I said it's a personal action? Who can do that but you? I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. But I need to always abound in the work of the Lord. Like I said, at different stages of our life, we can do some things better than others, but we can always, always do something. You say, well, I can't get out and about anymore. Well, that's true. If you don't have good eyesight and you're not a good driver, stay off the road. We have enough bad drivers there as it is. But can you still pray for your brethren? Sure you can. Can you still perhaps send a card if you want to send a card on occasion? Sure you can. And with our computers, if you're into that, you can even send an email or a text. Keep doing the work of the Lord. Again, what I remind myself as I remind others, we do not retire from the Lord. Now, I was much more forceful in my preaching 20 years ago. In fact, when my son preaches, well, he's more forceful than you. I used to be that forceful at one time. But now as I get older, I just be calmer and give more time to explain my points. Keep running. Keep on growing and keep on looking for the opportunities. You might be 69, 70, 75, and you might meet someone at the store who really likes you, and you might be able to open the door. You don't know that, so look for the opportunity. And most of all, if you can, be here when you can be here. Now, I know we have some who cannot be here. I understand that. But if you can, keep on doing the work of the Lord, whatever that might be. Keep on growing. But let's move to the next point. Because as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as we run this race, it tells us in verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Now the idea of temperate, the English Standard Version has the word exercises self-control. And likewise, the New American Standard says exercises self-control. And that's why I have self-control. When you're temperate, you have self-control. So as I run this race, it's not only my personal conduct, I've got to have self-control. And there's many more than three areas, but I just have given you three areas that are so clearly evident in our lives. The first area I want to suggest to you and to myself that we need to have self-control is self-control when we're faced with temptation. You know, I used to think, well, as you get older, perhaps maybe you don't have as much temptation. That's not true. Not true at all. The only thing is the temptations are different. I think for some of us who get older, and don't take this personally, I don't know your life, I think the temptation for some of us who get older is called laziness. I think we have to watch out for laziness. We have to keep on running. Let's look at a passage as we talk about temptation. In fact, let's look at a few. Let's begin with 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're familiar with this because we've studied this on our Wednesday study. We have recorded for us in 11 and 12, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among all the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, I want to focus home in on verse 11. It talks about abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Like I said, one of the fleshly lusts that war against the soul, at least when we get older, is to put things off, and this leading to laziness. Let me give you an illustration that I have to work on, and I do work on. And that is, I have to exercise every day. And it's not because I love exercise. It's because that I've had a heart attack, and I take medication, and you have to exercise with that. Otherwise, you're going to go downhill real fast. And I do not like walking on a treadmill. I feel like a mouse in one of those cages. You see those cages? You're going absolutely nowhere. And what happens is some days I just can't get out to do that. And that happens with all of us. There's some days there's things you can't do. But when you can't do it on those days, here's what you have to watch out for. That doesn't become a routine. I've got to get back and do that routine to the best of my ability. And again, I believe that's one of the ways. You say, how does Satan tempt you in exercise? Well, if I don't exercise and I get heavier than I am, this stealth body that I have, I get heavier than I am, and I do a, you can see the problems that would arise. You say, so he wins. So I'm not saying you have to be a certain weight, but I'm just saying you have to look at your own life and ask yourself, what are some of your temptations? Maybe your temptation is a lack of patience, and the devil knows that. So you're in circumstances that you don't have patience. Ever been in the Walmart lately and go to the pay line with people? You better have patience, because it's got one line open, one line. Got 12 lines where you serve yourself, and I'm old-fashioned. I don't want to serve myself because they are not paying me a salary. So I want to stand in line, but sometimes it's not worth standing in line. And then you don't have the patience. You get mad. You get upset. Okay, Satan, you see how he works on these things? We've got to watch out. You say, well, these are little things. These little things lead to more things. You get the point? Yeah, I could talk about big sins, or at least we call them big sins. God doesn't. Alcoholism or philandering or other things like that. But we've got to watch out on these other things. So we have to watch out for temptation. Also, as we think of temptation, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 12. And really, I'm giving this lesson to myself. So you say, why do you give that? Well, I'm giving it to Chuck. I'm reminding myself, keep running, because it's so easy to just give up. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that's the race of life, is it not? Your race in life, it's set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, keep your eyes focused on Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, that's of course Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We've got to watch out for that last part. Lest become weary and discouraged in our souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, what? Striving against sin. You have to strive against sin when you're in your 20s. You have to strive against sin when you're in your teens. And guess what? You have to strive against sin in your 60s. And I haven't made the 70s yet, but I'm sure the same is in the 70s. And it goes on and on. We have to keep on having self-control in these areas. The worst thing that we can do is flat out excuse ourselves because we've gotten to a certain age. Don't do that. Keep running. Again, as we look at another area, we need to have self-control in the use of our time. We're not going to spend much on that, but time goes by quickly. As we think of time, let's go to the passage in James chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Now, while you're turning to James chapter 4, I'm going to share a story that Sue shared with some this morning. When we were at my daughter's yesterday, my granddaughter went out to go buy shoes. And she happened to be in the Brandon Mall when that shot, the person in that mall, the shot went off in the food court. And guess where my granddaughter happened to be at that time? In the food court. Now, initially, they didn't realize it was a gun that went off in someone's purse. That's what they've concluded it was. It was a missed shot from someone's purse. But everybody thought there was a shooter. So people just zoomed out of the food court. And my granddaughter came home, and I was in my most comfortable place in the living room, laying down with David's laying down at the other side of the couch. We're both taking a nap. And she come in, and the others were playing a game. And she looked petrified. Because, see, she didn't know that's what it was at first. She thought there was an active shooter. And I got to thinking about that. You know, we just assume we've got time indefinitely. But do we? We don't know that. Now, I'm not justifying any shooter. But we got a lot of crazy people out there. We got a lot of crazy people. And, you know, let's use our time wisely. Let's not assume we've got forever to do something. In James chapter 4, let's read James chapter 4, and let's read what it says here. Verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It what? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I want to stop here. We have to use self-control in our time. How many times do you say, I'm going to get around to it? I'm going to get around to it. You know what? You probably won't. I'll give you another illustration. How many times have you said something, we need to get together sometime? If you say it that way, you're never getting together. Guaranteed. You have to put a date down. Well, I don't want to put a date down. I might not make that date. But if you put a date down, you're going to focus to that date, and then you're going to have to put another date. But when we say, oh, we're going to get together sometime, they're not going to do it. It's just like one man I studied with years ago. I'm going to be a Christian someday. Not until he changes his mindset. And really, we're pretty arrogant when we say that because we don't know how much time we have. Is that not so? In fact, people who we think are going to die don't die. And people who look like, as my mom would say, they're as healthy as a horse, they die. Right? Have you ever noticed that? Time is precious. And it's a shame we don't have self-control with our time. When you go on the internet, be careful. Trust me, you don't need to spend 2 or 3 hours on the internet because you can't bring those hours back. Remember this, when today is gone, it can never be brought back. And how many tomorrows I have, I don't know. Neither do you. So I need to use my time wisely. We need to be the type of people. And in using that time wisely, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm so sad religious people put God on hold. You know, God's important in my life, but I've put him in this compartment. Someday I'm going to get him out of this compartment, but not right now. How sad that is. Because the longer we do that with God and his kingdom, the less benefits we enjoy that we could have right now. Keep Christ and his teachings in focus by having self-control of our time. And I'm only going to give two passages on this. Self-control on our tongue. Does that create problems between husbands and wives? Yeah. Does that create problems between parents and children? Yeah. And how many problems have been created in the church because we don't have self-control of our tongue? Again, if you're going to run that race, it's a long race. There's things we need to learn control. Turn with me, if you will, as we talk about the tongue, to James chapter 1 and verse 26. In James chapter 1, verse 26, for if any one of you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. When someone makes you upset, and don't walk out here and say, I never get upset, because next week I'll talk about lying to yourself. We all get upset. When someone makes you upset, do not say anything immediately. Wait a while. I'm not saying you can't say something. You might have to say something. But it's best not to do so immediately. Because if you do so immediately, inevitably it might harm you. True story. Many years ago, my cousin lives in Ironwood, Michigan. That's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And she had a brother. Her name was Sharon. His name was David. She's still alive. He's not. You see, he died at a very young age. He died when he was 19 or 20 as they were drag racing on a hill. Now, why you drag race on a hill, I don't know, but that's what they were doing. And you know, for many years, she had difficulty because her younger brother died while they were drag racing. And she had difficulty not in that. She had difficulty in the loss of her brother, but here's where she had the biggest difficulty. When they would argue with each other, she would often say the same, I wish you were dead. You've heard that before, haven't you? Now, she never meant that, but I wish you were dead. Now, she didn't create him being dead, but it bothered her for a long time that she ever said that to her brother who had died. They actually had a close relationship with one another. Be careful. Have self-control with your tongue, especially when you get angered, that you don't say those things. One other passage, we're not going to go there, but in Proverbs 21, 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. So again, we got this race. I might control my tongue today, but you know what I catch myself? Sometimes I don't control it. And I should know better. I've been preaching forever. But you remember James chapter 3, no man does what? No man tames the tongue. It's something we always have to be on guard of. We need to redeem the time with regards to the tongue and have self-control. But let's move on. We're almost done. We need to stay focused to that clear goal. And that goal, of course, is heaven. That's our goal. But as we read this passage, verses 25 and 26, it says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, he knows where he's going. He knows he's in a battle, right? Thus I fight. Throughout the New Testament, doesn't talk about the battle that we're in. I mean, if you don't realize that you're in a battle today, you're like an ostrich with his head in the sand. We're in a battle. We have recorded for us in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, that our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. And I could multiply that passage with 20 more passages on the battle we're in. We're in a battle. But we keep our eyes focused on the goal. You see, nothing better for Satan is if I end up lost. But God wants us to be saved. The final decision is up to who? You or I. It's up to us. And again, as we think about that, therefore, we have to be focused, 1 Peter chapter 1, and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, what we've studied, to that inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Look at, reserved where? In heaven for you. I'm sure some of you do, but I would probably suggest to you, I think about heaven every day. I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. I mean, you're going to be in the presence of God. What better thing than that? You're going to have no pain and no sorrow. And that's the place that God has provided for us through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we keep on focusing to that goal. And boy, what a goal that is. You know, for some people, their goal is to be remembered. Quite frankly, I don't care if I'm remembered or not. My goal is to go on to heaven. That's my goal. Sometimes people's goal is their legacy. Well, if I have any legacy, I hope it's that he served the Lord. I want to go to heaven. Don't you? That's why I'm here tonight. I'm here because I want to go to heaven. You know, if Christianity was, well, it's just going to make you a better life here and now, I don't know whether I'd be a Christian or not. I hope I would, but I don't know. But when it says, hey, you want to be a Christian, it's going to give you a better life here, and it's going to give you eternal life, that I want. In fact, I think I told you this. The lesson that got me to come forward was a lesson on hell. And I thought as the preacher was done, boy, that is one place I don't want to end up in, is in hell. We have heaven awaiting us. Run that race. You've got to have that goal. You don't look at what you're going through. You look at the end result. There's what you're going after. I'm remembered, and again, I know you're tired of Northern illustrations, but I remember two good football players on the Bears before the life of many of you, Walter Payton and Dick Butkus. And you ask, why were they so good? Because in the offseason, they worked to the goal. They had goals set, and they worked to the goal. Nobody's there cheering them on. You know, we look at the Olympics. You watch the Olympics, and all of a sudden, everybody wants to be a gymnast or something else. What you don't know is all the hours they put in behind the scenes. Oh, I want to be a great swimmer. Great. Look at all the work. They're putting in work at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, 6 in the morning, while we're sleeping. Why do they do that? Because they look to the goal. And that's a temporary goal. We look to a goal that's an eternal goal. Keep running. Keep running. Don't stop. The goal is still there. You haven't reached the goal until you put off this body of flesh. So as we close, that's why Paul said, I discipline my body. Why? Because I don't want to be disqualified. Now, we've studied this on our Wednesday class, but you remember 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind, and it talks about be ye holy, what? For I am holy. Why? Let's go to the 1 Peter 1. We're not going to read all of that, but let's go to 1 Peter 1 down towards the end. And in verse 17, and if you call on the Father who is without partiality according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Did you catch that? Because you don't want to lose sight of that goal. Wouldn't that be sad that we just throw this aside and say, well, yeah, that was interesting. I'm glad he's done. And you don't make corrections that are necessary in your life to keep on running. How sad that would be. Because every one of us in this audience has the opportunity to go to heaven. Every one of us. Now, whether or not we do is up to whether or not we have a conduct becoming of the gospel, that we fight the temptations of sin, that we use self-control, and that we keep focused on the goal. Now, before I close, I'm going to give you an illustration I gave you before. And it's an illustration that's a true story, and it's not about me, it's not about my family, it's a true story about an athlete. You see, I like athletics, it's about an athlete. I don't even know this man, because I was a young boy when this occurred. This was back in 1960, well, I wasn't a young boy, I was a teenager back in 1968. But I want to close with this story. In 1968 Summer Olympics, Mexico, by the way, the altitude at Mexico is over 7,000 feet. Now, I'm told that's important if you're running, that makes it harder to run. But as we go on, a runner from Tanzania, Joseph Stephen Akwori fell on the ground. He was one of the runners. He came from Tanzania. He fell on the ground, gushed his knee, and also caused dislocation of his knee. Think about this now. And by the way, this was given by a sporting magazine. This is in history. They have this. His statement is on record. It goes, he also smashed his shoulder against the pavement. Most observers, seeing his injuries, assumed that he would pull out and go to the hospital. Instead, he received medical attention and returned to the track to continue his race. And so more than an hour and a half after the winner, Akwori crossed the finish line in last place. Cheered by a few thousand spectators who had remained in the stadium after the sun went down, by the time he reached the stadium, he was limping and the bandage around his leg was flapping. Can you visualize that now as he's going around that last turn of the stadium in the breeze? And he was asked why he carried on. And his response has gone down in sporting history. Here's what he said. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race. And I want to use that statement. I know you've heard it before, but I want to use that statement for us as Christians. My Lord did not die that cruel death on Calvary to start a race. My Lord, who died on Calvary, did so that we would finish the race and reach that goal. Is that not so? When you choose not to run that race, in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, you have chosen to throw away eternal life provided by Jesus Christ. Does it take effort? Absolutely. All the effort you can muster. But brethren and friends, it's worth it. So we close with this passage. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Again, I love the book of Philippians. We find for us here in 13 and 14, as Paul states this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson tonight, get verse 14. Pressing toward that goal. And what is that goal? That goal is heaven. So, we're in a marathon. Keep running. If you quit, get started once again. If you've not entered, then be baptized and enter. But run that race till you breathe your last breath, as we stand and as we sing.